Well, I've been enjoyed the Sunday school class this morning and enjoying this, seeing these kids come in, these gifts and things. You've been just a nice thing to see you doing, and so much for your pastors. And we also appreciate Brother Dave and Sister Ruth and the work they're doing here. I'm still not over Andrea leaving yet, though, so it's going to take a while. I hold grudges for a long time. But I do appreciate your hospitality toward her and helping her. And she's, me and Lisa's proud of her. She's always been a girl that has been sincere about the things of the Lord and always wanted to work for the Lord. So I'm glad she's up here. It's not as far as Africa. So that's a nice thing. So we're glad of that. I've asked, my wife's going to sing. When I come here, I don't get a chance to come up as often as Lisa does, but it brings back so many memories. The church here has been a real blessing to us through the years, and I have a lot of fond memories here. And I know my wife said we came across McKinley Bridge this morning, and my wife told Jared, she said, "Oh," she said, "years ago, your dad, when he would be coming up Highway 3, he'd be getting so excited because he's coming to see me." I said, "I don't remember that."
Yeah, he was.
Testify.
I don't know if I can sing. I'm just all teared up this morning. I love the Lord, and I'm thankful for his blessing. And I'm thankful for this church and for what has meant in my life. And you people, every time I get to come, it just reminds me of my heritage and the people that helped shape and mold my life. All of you that have been here for so many years you're just special in my heart, and I love you guys so much. You just never know, you know, it's a blessing to say, you know, I went to Bethel Chapel as a little girl, and Brother Gallagher, Sister Ruthie's dad, you know, and Mom, they were good people in my life, and Brother Belt was gone, I was gone before the Belts came, so I didn't get to really sit under them, but you have been blessed with good people in your leadership down through the years here. And Brother Cook, when he founded this church, or God birthed this church and used Brother Cook to start it. And it's just such a blessing, and I don't know if that's why I'm so emotional, but I have a heart for ministry and for pastors' wives and pastors. They go through a lot of things that you never see and you don't realize sometimes, some of the heartache, some of the trials that they go through, because they usually always have a smile on their face. And being, you know, I wasn't raised in a pastor's home, and I didn't understand as a teen what I understand now, some of the things that you go through. And so I am thankful that you guys realize the need to appreciate them. And I know sometimes it's embarrassing to receive gifts and things like that, because it's just kind of hard. It's difficult. It's awkward, I guess. But as the lay people, it's very commendable for you guys to honor your pastor, not just on one day, but throughout the year. And I love the Lord. I'm going to sing this little song. Just help me.
worship the Lord together this morning. He's the master of every problem, every trial, every burden. Friend, whatever you have need of this morning, He is Lord of all this morning. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Before I read my text, I want to say a couple other things here, and I'll not try to take too much time. I'm not a long-winded preacher, so you don't have to worry about it too much. I wanted to say I appreciate, you know, Brother and Sister Gallagher, when we were dating and then married, were just so good to us and treated us so well. And then Brother and Sister Belt just really helped us. We was just evangelizing. We'd come in, and they were so gracious to us and helped us so much. And it's good to be in service with Sister Belt. And, of course, Brother Dave and Sister Ruthie, we've known, even before we was married, been years. And I just appreciate their friendship. It's good to have good friends, isn't it? And it's a joy to be here this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse number 36. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 36. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. I'd like you to notice what the church of Ephesus did, as actually the elders were accompanying Paul to the ship. The Bible said they fell on his neck, I look at that as hugging him, embracing him, and kissed him. I want to preach, let me just say this. Several years ago, back in the 70s, my uncle then, who has passed away, he owned a Texaco service station. Back then, service stations, you didn't just get gas. I mean, they waited on you, and they checked your oil, I worked there till I went to Bible school. Since I was 14 till I was 18, I worked at that service station. One of the companies that traded with my uncle was Apollo Disposal. It was a garbage trash company. And the owner of it lived in our hometown. And all of his personal vehicles and his family, they all bought gas there. And they'd put it on a credit card then. They'd put it on a bill, and at the end of the month, you know, they'd pay it. And they all had Cadillacs, wealthy people, and he pulled in one. And during this time, there was a lot of child abuse going on, and they were having different slogans, different things. And one of the big slogans was, "Have you hugged your kids today?" And people had bumper stickers. It would be on the news and everything about child abuse. "Have you hugged your kids today? Have you hugged your kids today?" And so, the owner of this company, he pulls in there in his Cadillac, and I go around to get gas. And back then, all the gas tanks were in the back of the car. You'd pull the license plate down. I pulled the license plate down. Right on that back bumper was a sticker. It said, "Have you hugged your garbage man today?" I want to preach a few minutes here on, "Have you hugged your pastor today?" Father, I thank you for the word of God. I'm asking you, Lord, to help us this morning. Anoint us with the Holy Ghost. I pray you touch lives and hearts, minister to people in these altars. Touch both young and old, Lord. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 20 that Paul is leaving the city of Ephesus. And when he is going there, you see a couple things stand out to me about this text. When he's going, first of all, you see Paul's love for his people. The Bible tells us that while they were there, that Paul instructed them and told them how that they were, how he had been persecuted for their sake. And then Paul gave them some instructions about how to protect themselves from the false teachers. And it's very evident when you read this chapter that Paul is warning them, is concerned about their future and concerned about their families and concerned about the gospel being preached. It's very evident that Paul loved these folks. And I'll tell you, friend, pastors love their people. And they sacrifice for them, and they go at great lengths to encourage them and pray for them and help their family. And even a lot of their family is not even in church. They go out of their way. I try to help them. Paul was like this. It's very evident from the text that Paul loved his church, but it's also evident that the church loved the Apostle Paul. The Bible said they knelt down and prayed together, and the Bible said they hugged him and fell on his neck. They embraced him, and then they accompanied him all the way to the ship. That is, they walked with him. They did not want him to go. They did not want him to leave. And you could see the compassion and love they had for the man of God. I'll tell you, church, it's important not only that we love God, love his word. It's important that we love his men. The message they bring, the care they bring. Amen. Brother Paul was loved by the church. Now, did I tell you the Bible says here that they fell on his neck? That is, I'm assuming they hugged him and they kissed him. Now, I know Brother David, he enjoys illustrated sermons. I'd like him to come up here. I'd like to illustrate this sermon. Did I tell you they hugged him and they kissed him? Brother David, come on. Come on up here. I want to illustrate this sermon. Come on. Now, I don't really exactly know how that they hugged, you know. It's probably something like that. They probably just hugged him and then they kissed him. I want to tell you real quickly this morning three ways that you can show your affection or your love toward your pastor. Now, I preached this sermon several years ago when I was in revival in a church out in Kansas. And I told my wife ahead of time while I was going to preach, and I said, I'm going to preach on, have you hugged your preacher? Have you hugged your pastor? And she said, well, I hope you tell everybody that you don't want all the women hugging you. I said, hey, a man's got to practice what he preaches. Three ways to show love or affection toward your pastor. First of all, we need to pray for your pastor. That's how we express love and show love to our pastors. Amen. Let me just say this. Why should you pray for the pastor? First of all, it's because the souls of sinners are at stake. You know, when he gets up to preach, or when he goes visit the hospital, or when he counsels somebody, every time, friend, there are souls that are usually weighing in the balance. There are souls at stake. And every Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday night when he's preaching, there's somebody that may be on the verge of eternity. There may be a soul that is wrestling with heaven or hell. Amen. Making that commitment. And so let's pray for the man of God, that God would anoint him and use him, and to touch lives and hearts and change people with the gospel. Several months ago, I remember, and this happens, I'm just using this one illustration because this happens often in the ministry. But several months ago, I get up early on Sunday mornings to get things ready. A lot of times I have my sermon pretty much, not completely ready, but a lot of times I have it pretty well, know what I'm going to preach. And that morning I got down to my study and I began to pray and just kind of go over some of the things that I was going to be preaching about and studying on. And
while I was praying, I could just sense and feel that this wasn't the way to go. And amen, you know, I took all the time to get it all ready, and I could just feel, and I got down, I said, Lord, I just sense that you want to do something else this morning, and I sense that you want me to preach something else, and I don't know what you want me to preach, but I began to pray, and God began to deal with me about the prodigal son, and so I took a pencil, a paper, and I began to write some things down and prayed, and that Sunday morning when I got to church, amen, a person that had, amen, had been saved at one time had come to our church at length at one time in their life and hadn't seen them in several months. Amen, that morning they were there. I had no idea they was going to be there. I did not have a clue they'd be there. But God knew. Amen, brother, we need to pray for the preacher. Pray for the man of God. There are souls to be saved, lives to be changed. Express your affection by praying for the man of God. Amen. Not only because the souls of sinners are at stake, but can I tell you, pray for him because the soul of the church is at stake. We're living in a very compromising age. And you may not recognize it this morning, but not only is there a battle going on for the souls of men, there is a battle going on for the soul of the church. I mean, do we want to have revival? Or do we just want to be a social gathering? Do we want to reach lost and dying people? Or do we just want to have a program? There's a battle for the soul of the church. We need to pray for the man of God. Amen. Pray for your pastors. There's also a battle. Why do you need to pray for him? Because the soul not only of sinners are at stake, and the soul of the church is at stake, but the soul of the pastor is at stake. Friend, don't doubt it here this morning. Amen. The devil would like to destroy every preacher. The devil would like to wreck and ruin the lives of every man of God. Now I'll tell you that his soul and his family's soul and his children's souls are at stake. We need to pray for them. That God would build a hedge around them. That God would keep them from temptation. That God would bless their home. I'm telling you, there is an attack against the ministry and against the man of God. But thank God there are church people that call their name out before the Lord, that pray. We need to pray for the man of God. The Bible tells us that at the upper room experience, when Jesus was breaking bread, that sometime during this evening, that Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Someone said, well, you know, Peter was such a great, we're talking about a man that did quite a bit of miracles. We're talking about a man that attempted to walk on water and got a lot farther than most people get. We're talking about a man, brother, that the Lord used mightily. And Jesus said, listen, the devil's after you, Peter. The devil would like to destroy you. And we find out, brother, another chapter over, that Peter's denying the Lord. Amen, brother, when the rooster crows, Peter recognizes, amen, how much he failed. I'm telling you, church, let's don't quit praying. Let's believe God. Let's pray for the preacher. Amen. Not only do you show your love for your pastor by praying for him, we also express our appreciation and our love by providing for the pastor. And let me say this morning. I know I'm preaching to a group of people and to a church that has been very good to their ministers, and through the years have been people that have provided in a great way for Brother and Sister Brim and for the pastors. I'm not saying this morning to try to be judgmental or critical. I'm just saying this is the way we show affection. Amen. We provide for them. We make sure they're well taken care of and their families taken care of. And I'll tell you, nothing says love like money. Big offer. I mean, and I know really to the family, it's really not that way. To your family, I mean, the most important thing is spend time with them. Amen. For your children, I mean, especially small children, money means very little. I mean, a toy don't last very long, spending time with them. But I'll tell you, for the pastor at the Highway of Holiness Church in Mansfield, Missouri, big offerings speak to me as love. Did you know God had, that God had the children of Israel, a definite law laid out that they would take care of the Levite family, the people that took care of the tabernacle? You know why? They didn't own fields. They didn't own cattle. They didn't own sheep. Their job was to take care of the tabernacle. And so every other tribe was to give a tenth in order for them to live and them to provide for their family and them to be taken care of. When you get into your New Testament, you'll find out the apostles. So Paul instructed the church to give them double honor. Amen. To make sure they are taken care of and provided for. Amen. In fact, the Paul said, listen, amen, a man that works is worthy of the reward. A man that labors is worthy to be paid. Amen. He said, you know, amen, does a man that tends to the field, doesn't he eat the grapes? Doesn't he eat the fruit of it? Amen. So should a man live off the ministry. The Apostle Paul was instructing his church to be responsible for the care of the pastor and his family and make sure they're taken care of financially. That's the way we express our love. We want to express it by being responsible and taking care of their needs. Let me tell you something this morning. Amen. There are a lot of people, and I know you folks are tithers and you're good givers, but there may be some this morning you really haven't had the burden yet. There may be some this morning you said, you know, I really haven't got the instruction or the burden, or you know, I really haven't felt the need to really give to the church and to be a participator in tithing and in offerings. I would encourage you this morning, amen, one of the ways you can express your love not only to the church but to the pastor is by giving and by offerings. Let's make sure they're well taken care of. Several years ago, I was preaching a meeting. And when I was evangelist, so it's been many years ago, I was evangelizing, I was preaching a meeting, and this hardly ever happened, but this particular revival, it ended on a Sunday morning. And I was starting a revival on a Sunday night, and I had about 4 hours to drive, and so I told Lisa, I give her instructions, which is a waste of breath. I said, Lisa, listen, after church, I said, we are going to get out of here right after church is over. I said, because we got a ways to go. I said, you cannot talk to everybody in the church and visit with everybody. We've got to go after church. You can understand why my breath was wasted, can't you? And So, when church was over, I got out to the foyer and waiting patiently, by the way. And this man comes up to me, he shakes my hand. He said, Brother Mark, he said, I've got something I want to give you. And he said, but I don't have it with me. I have to go home and get it. I said, well, brother, now I really didn't know what he's going to give me. I mean, on the evangelistic field, I mean, I didn't know if he's going to give me a dog or a cat or, give me a blue polyester suit with white shoes. I mean, I just didn't know. I had no idea what he's going to give me. And I said, well, brother, I appreciate it. But I said, listen, I said, not to be rude or anything, but I said, I really have to get on the road. And I'm going to be leaving, as soon as we get out of here. I said, we're going to get on the road, but I appreciate it. I said, and he said, well, Brother Mark, he said, you know, I was praying about this, and he said, the Lord spoke to me about giving it to you, and he said, I had a settlement a few years ago, and he said, I saved back $1,000, and he said, I put it up, and I said, I've been asking the Lord what to do with it, and he said, the Lord spoke to me this morning, and give it to you. I said, I'll wait. I one time was preaching a revival at a place, and they used to, I don't know, let me see here. Well, I speak out. Okay, good. They used to have a board up there, and they'd put the preacher, how much the preacher got. And, you know, they put, like, attendance, you know, how much attendance for this, for the day, how much, usually like Sunday school offering. And then at the bottom, a lot of smaller churches, they would put, you know, how much a pastor got. Because a lot of smaller churches, they take offerings for the pastor for the week, you know. And of course, they had his offering up there. And I remember this plain as day. The offering was $230 for him. And this church run about 90 people. And it was a farming community. And so I don't have much wisdom today, but I had a lot less then. And I got up one night and I said, folks, listen, I said, I'm having a hard time understanding this. I said, there's $230 for the preacher. And I said, this parking lot has Cadillacs in it, new pickup trucks. I said, you farmers got new combines out there. And I said, you're still putting $20 in the offering. I said, something is not adding up to me here. Now, brother, I never got a degree in economics, but I do know, brother, a tenth is a tenth of what you bring in. Amen. It's a tenth of what you make. And for people to be able to afford $80,000 combines and $30,000 pickup trucks and $30,000 cars, and they're just putting $20 now, it ain't adding up to me, friend. And I'll tell you something. I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm saying this a lot of people don't understand. Amen. The man of God's got a family to raise, too. He's got bills to pay too. He gets medical bills too. His car breaks down too. Amen. His children need to buy books at school too. And I'll tell you, if God blesses you, count it an honor to bless the man of God. Amen. Count it an honor to be able to show your love and express your appreciation to the man of God by giving. Last of all, let me say this. Another way you can express your appreciation to the pastor is by, I've talked to you about prayer and I've talked to you about providing, about praise your pastor. And I'm not talking here about kneeling down and bowing to him. I'm talking about having respect for the man of God. I mean, there's nothing any greater that can show appreciation than to have people respect you and honor you as a pastor. Let me tell you something. I was looking this up. Well, let me first tell you this. There's a book called Liberating the Ministry of the Success Syndrome, written by Ken and Barbara Hughes. And in this book, the author said this: encourage your pastor by treating him with respect. And you know, Paul said something similar. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. What is he saying? Esteem them highly. What's he saying? Honor them. Respect them. Reverence them. Amen. Show kindness to them. Be polite to them. I'm telling you, church, a way we can show and express our love is by respecting the man of God. I know Brother David was raised in this church, and I'm not saying anybody here treats him with disrespect. I'm not saying that at all. Amen. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can take the attitude, well, this is just the boy that was raised here on the pew, or this is just David. But oh, church, hear me this morning. We've got to respect him as a man of God that God called, God ordained. Amen. Be a blessing to him. Now, let me just share this with you. I think we can show our respect in a few. First of all, let's respect him because of his position. That is, friend, what sets the pastor apart is that God has ordained and called him for a position, an overseer, an elder, okay? Now, I was going to say something about the church here, but I'll just say something about my home church. They're at the Highway of Holiness. I've been there 22 years. Let me tell you what, there's hundreds of other preachers that have more. They have better preaching skills. They have better counseling skills. They would probably, I would look at them as being better preachers than me. But see, God in his infinite wisdom and God in his searching, he called me out to pastor that group of people. And the same is true right here at Bethel Chapel. You see, there are hundreds of other preachers that could fill this spot. There are hundreds of other preachers that could get up and lead in a song and give a prayer and preach a sermon. And hundreds of other preachers that could teach a Sunday school class. But you know what sets Brother David apart? Out of all the preachers out there. God called him out. And God picked him out. Friend, we need to honor him. And show respect because of his position. I've had people in the past that really climb me upside and one down the other about decision I made. I've had them meet me at the back door out in the parking lot. And sometimes my only response, well, brother, listen. God called me to be the pastor. You see, friend, even though we may have disagreements, we must show respect because of the position. Let's show respect not only because of the position, but because of instruction. You know, some folks get upset when you instruct people and you tell them how to do and tell them how to raise their children and tell them how to be faithful to church and, tell them how to lay some things down and pick some things up and, you try to instruct them and some folks are offended by it. But listen, even though, brother, how the Holy Ghost convicts our hearts or God deals with us, or we don't really appreciate it, we must respect the man of God for his instruction. You know, Brother David, God has called him, to build the church up, to edify the church, but also to give correction and to give instruction. We must respect the instruction. Now, it's not fun sometimes giving instruction, but it's got to be done. A few years ago, and I know this has happened a lot of times. A few years ago, there's a young lady in our church that was about to marry a young man that was not saved, not even a Christian. In fact, I was told that on one of his, Facebook or something, that he claimed to be an atheist. I felt obligated as a preacher and as a pastor, and sometimes I wonder, I wonder where parents are. I wonder what happened to parents. But as a pastor, I felt obligated, to say something. And so I asked her one day after church. I said, if you have time, I'd like you to come over to the house. Our parsonage's right next door. I said, me and Sister Hudson, like, talk to you a minute. And so a girl had been in our church several years, and I brought her over there. And really, honestly, I could not hardly believe this was even happening. I mean, I just couldn't fathom it was even happening from this girl. This is a good girl. And they've been coming to church. And so I sat down. I got to talking to her about what the Bible said. I was concerned about her future. And I could tell by looking in her eyes, her mind was made up. I could tell, brother, she didn't care what I said. She didn't care what the Bible said. Her mind was made up. She was going to do it. Church, listen. We must respect the instruction. Because God is trying to get a hold of your heart. God's trying to touch your life. Let's appreciate the instruction. We need to show respect not only for his position and for instruction, but also for the mission. Someone said, Brother Mark, I don't appreciate him spending all the money on the buses. I don't appreciate him doing all this type of thing. Friend, listen, let's respect the man of God for the mission. Now, let me tell you something I know to be true. I know that when God leads a church, he usually gives a vision through the man of God. It says, listen, you need to do this. You need to start this. You need to use money in this area. And then he has the tough assignment of trying to get people on board, trying to get people to say, hey, listen, I think that's a good thing. I've been praying about it too. And get folks into it. One way to respect the man of God is to get behind the mission. I read in the Bible where Miriam came to Moses and she said, you've got an Ethiopian wife for one thing. And then later on, the Bible tells what the real reason was. She said, I could prophesy too. I could speak words of wisdom. wisdom too. I could teach too. I could preach too. And the Bible said God was angry with Miriam. Amen. You know why? Because, brother, there in the book of Numbers, the writer there is writing to show the things that stopped their progress, the things that hindered them from going into Canaan. And one of them was they did not respect Moses. And for 7 days they waited. For 7 days there was no progress. For 7 days there was no revival. I'm going to tell you, friend, amen, you'll stop the growth of the church. You'll stop the progress if we don't respect the man of God's mission. Let me tell you this morning, there is a lot to be done. And I know you folks are with Brother David. I'm just preaching this to encourage you this morning that it is so vital. It is so vital that we get behind the mission and say, hey, what can I do? Amen. How can I help? How can I be a blessing? I preached here this morning, have you hugged your pastor? I mean, have you showed your appreciation? Let's get behind it. Let's say, hey, listen, I'm with you on this. Amen. I want heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I want to ask you today, and you'd say, Brother Mark, I know we have a lot of ministries here at the church and different things. And I'd like to make a commitment this morning as we gather in these altars that I'm going to start praying for these missions. I'm going to start praying for the bus ministry and for the Sunday school classes, for the camp meetings and youth camps, Lord, and the camp things that do with the campgrounds, Lord. God, for the Christian school, I'm going to make a commitment this morning. I'm going to start praying for these ministries. Secondly, I'm going to start making it a habit of praying for Brother David and Sister Ruthie. I'm going to make it a habit of lifting them up in prayer and believing God to help them and work and move in the church. And thirdly, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do? God, what is there something? Lord, I want to get on board this thing. I want to get on this ship. What can I do to help? Because I know there are souls to be saved. I know there are people to be rescued. I know there are children to be delivered from the bondage of sin. And I want to be a part. And I want the Lord to speak to me and show me, what can I do, Lord? How can I help to be a part of that mission? Could we gather around this morning? Let's find a place to pray, church. Could we say, Lord, I want you to use me? Could we come and pray, everybody that will? Let's come and pray today. Let's see.